Thank you, Carol, Christian, and Marshall Shore for that beautiful music this morning. Our opening words this morning come from Kenneth Patton. This house is for the ingathering of nature and human nature. It is a house of friendships, a haven in trouble, and open room for the encouragement of our struggle. It is a house of freedom, guarding the dignity and worth of every person. It offers a platform for the free voice, for declaring both in times of security and danger the full and undivided conflict of opinion. It is a house of truth-seeking, where scientists can encourage devotion to their quest, where mystics can abide in a community of searchers. It is a house of art, adorning its celebration with melodies and handiworks. It is a house of prophecy, holding visions of the possibilities and potentials. This house is a cradle for our dreams, the workshop for our common endeavor. Please rise in body or in spirit for our chalice lighting, which will be done this morning by the Teeburger family. And please remain standing for our affirmation, our greeting, your neighbor, and our hymn.
May the light of this flame illuminate our lives and strivings of the Spirit. May it heal misunderstanding and strengthen love. Love is a doctrine of this fellowship. The quest for truth is its sacrament, and service is its prayer. To dwell together in peace, to seek truth and love, to serve humanity in fellowship.
Please take a moment to greet your neighbor this morning. time. Well, gentle words should bring us a joyful heart, and a joyful heart should open our pocketbooks. This is the time of the offering, which is a sacrament of the free fellowship. We are supported by the voluntary generosity of all who join with us. The offering will now be given and received in grateful appreciation of our shared hopes and values. Please be generous. sing the children out to their activity this morning. Peace be with you. Our responsive reading this morning is number 637, Litany of Atonement, in your hymnal. I will begin. For remaining silent when a single voice would have made a difference. For each time that our fears have made us rigid and inaccessible. For each time that we have struck out in anger without just cause. For each time that our greed has blinded us to the needs of others.
We forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love.
For the selfishness which sets us apart and alone.
We forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love.
For falling short of the admonitions of the Spirit. For losing sight of our unity.
We forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love.
For those and for so many acts, both evident and subtle, which have fueled the illusion of separateness.
We forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love.
This is our time of sharing personal joys and sorrows in our love, in our lives, deepening the connections of this community, of one to the other. If you have a joy or a sorrow, please come forward if you wish, light a candle. You may even share with the gathered community.
Hi, I'm Susan Holt, and this is a candle of joy and hope. My mother had, I told you folks, something akin to a stroke about 4 weeks ago. She came home from rehabilitation, inpatient rehabilitation, a week and a half ago, and she's just doing tremendously well. That woman, I never knew she had such spirit. And I just want to give so much credit to my father, who's just done amazing work in helping her along and, you know, driving her here and there and trying to communicate with her when she's having trouble getting the words out. And also my big sister, who came up from North Carolina for 2 weeks, was very helpful in a hardship for her. Thank you.
This is a candle of sorrow for our beloved dog, Sadie, who, after a long battle with cancer, succumbed on Monday. She was the gentlest, sweetest creature I'd ever known, and we're going to miss her terribly, Cecilia, Penny, and I.
I'm Carla Casisto, and some of you met my daughter Katie, who was here 2 weeks ago. And tomorrow is her 16th birthday, so I'm expressing joy for that she survived to this point in adolescence after, you know, all this, all the things that she's been through. And I'm hoping that she'll continue to do well as she is now.
I'm having trouble recovering from the dog situation. I'm an animal lover, and I just say dogs dying or whatever. Anyway, I'm up here to light a candle of joy, actually, for the artistic cluster that we have formed after Graham's two artistic way groups. I'm sorry, I'm still upset about the dog. Anyway, we've been trying to fill in the gaps before we start a new group, and we have had a great time, the last one being a drumming circle, where everybody has just, instead of going, oh, no, we can't do that, whatever, they just do everything, and they just have been wonderful and fun, and now people want to do a groups beside the group, because we're going on Wednesday at noon with the regular group starting this Wednesday. And anybody who wants to join, please, even though right now it's still artistic clustery, we are starting in, but we're going to have, like, adjacent groups and who knows what. So anyway, it really is a joy. It has just been so much fun. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Katie Alberti. I just wanted to light a candle of sorrow for thousands and thousands of people who have died in the earthquake in Pakistan, Afghanistan. You know, they're a long way away, but they are our brothers and sisters, too. And right now, that part of the world has had so much sorrow with war, and then to be visited by an earthquake is pretty awful.
I'm Graham Clark, and this is a candle of hope. My wife and I attended last night her 20th high school reunion, 20th anniversary high school reunion, and this is a candle for anyone who's afraid to go somewhere, but they go anyway, you know.
For those joys and sorrows that have been named, and for those that are still in the silent places that have not yet found words in our hearts, in our minds, and for those who are still struggling and overcoming the effects of many devastations, such as Katrina and the earthquake and others that we may not even know about. May we hold them all in our hearts.
We begin with the words of Wendell Berry, and then we will have a time of silence ended by a choral response. Coming to the wood's edge on my Sunday morning walk, I stand resting a moment beside a ragged, half-dead wild plum in bloom. Its perfume a moment enclosing me and standing side by side with the old broken blooming tree. I almost understand. I almost recognize as a friend the great impertinence of beauty that comes even to the dying, even to the fallen, without reason sweetening the air. I walk on distracted by a letter accusing me of distraction, which distracts me from this whiteness, lightness, sweetness in the air. The mind is broken by the thousand calling voices. It is always too late to answer. And that is why it yearns for some hard task, lifelong, longer than life, to concentrate it and make it whole. But where is the all-welcoming, all-consecrating Sabbath that would do the same? Where the quietness of the heart and the eye's clarity that would be a friend's reply to the white blossoming plum tree? Let us enter into a time of silence. Atonement. The Jewish holy day of Yom Kippur, also known as the Day of Atonement, is occurring on October 13th this year. It's observed by engaging in fast and prayer from sundown to sundown. Yom Kippur comes at the end of the 10 holy days known as the Days of Awe in Judaism. These are the very holiest days in the Jewish liturgical calendar. They begin with the celebration of the new year, Rosh Hashanah, which means head of the year. Jewish tradition considers this to be the one time of year when the book of life is opened.
a time when one can intentionally turn away from sin, a time of symbolic cleansing through the ritual acts of reciting the traditional prayers and restraining physical needs. If, Jewish tradition believes, one does these acts with an open heart, then one's name will be inscribed in the Book of Life for the coming year, and this is understood as a blessing. In Judaism, the ritual prayers are only for the repentance of sins against God. These sins are committed by individuals or by communities that have broken the sacred relationship, the covenant. The story of the Israelites building a golden calf while Moses is up on the mountain actually receiving the covenant of the Ten Commandments is considered such a sin. The traditional Yom Kippur prayers and ritual are directed toward forgiveness for such things as speaking unkindly by swearing, bearing false witness, lying, or being aggressive. There is in Judaism a category of sin known as an evil tongue. It stands in stark contrast to the idea of gentle words and kindnesses and evil tongue. Judaism doesn't require on this day repentance for such things as eating non-kosher foods or non-observance of the many laws that Jews are called upon to observe. It is, I think, of interest that these ritual atonement prayers in Judaism do not cover the forgiveness for sins against another person. In Judaism, those sins against another person can only be forgiven by that other person. The time of the days of awe, which we are now in, are also in Jewish tradition, however, a time to take stock of one's sins against another and to ask for forgiveness. The Hebrew word shuv, meaning to turn, and if I pronounce that incorrectly, I ask your forgiveness, is a characteristic word for the days of awe. This is a time for turning one's heart away from those yearnings, urges, and impulses that break relationship, turning away from that which makes us smaller toward that which will promote our growth and expansion. A returning with intentional reflection and contemplation. A returning one's heart toward the fulfillment of the communal vision, for a restored and whole community. Turning away from the brokenness and back toward the holy, which is both in individual and communal wholeness. Shuv, to turn, is to turn to begin again in love. As Unitarian Universalists, our connection to what makes us whole and holy is expressed in our seven principles and purposes. These, in addition to our individual congregational covenants and affirmations, are something we share. We covenant to affirm and promote the inherent worth and dignity of all people. We justice, equity, and compassion in human relations. Acceptance of one another and encouragement to spiritual growth in our congregations. A free and responsible search for truth and meaning. the right of conscience and the use of the democratic process within our congregations and in society at large, the goal of world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all, and respect for the interdependent web of which all existence of which we are a part. These could be part of the measure that we might use when examining our own lives in the spirit of atonement. After all, there must be a vision of what is right to know when we have done wrong. In addition to our ethical principles and purposes, you have the affirmation of this congregation spoken in unison each Sunday as a measure of your vision of what is right. Love is the doctrine of this fellowship. Perhaps a more useful understanding of atonement would be in relation to how we have or have not practiced this love. This love is not an easy affection. It is not a liking of others. This love is a seeking to recognize and hold in our hearts that innate goodness, the possibility for wholeness and maturity that resides within each of us. There is for most of us, except perhaps those enlightened prophets whom we hold up occasionally, an inherent tension between acting from this love and our sacrament questing for the truth. How do we hold these two things in equal measure as we relate to one another? How especially when there is within our tradition almost a built-in conflict about what is truth, since we encourage each person to search for their own truth and meaning. I have no answers to these questions. As human beings, we will struggle in the tension. Often, we fall down in the tension. We fall down to an evil tongue. When our desire for possession of the truth overcomes our basic human need for that love and acceptance, that experience of wholeness that we seek in connection and community. And we are sometimes hurt, and we sometimes hurt one another. This is further complicated by our very human response to hurt. Our hurts, those we receive and those we perpetrate upon others, often have a way of taking hold upon us with a far stronger grip than our vision for a whole, loving, compassionate community. There is a story about a bear who comes upon a camping site where a party of hunters has just been called away by a sudden alarm. They left behind a campfire burning with a kettle of boiling water upon it. The bear, who was drawn from the woods by the delicious aroma of the fire, sees the kettle with its lid dancing on top and promptly goes to seize it. Naturally, it burnt and scalded him very badly. But instead of dropping it instantly, he proceeded to hug it tightly, this being a bear's only idea of defense. And of course, the tighter he hugged it, the more he got burned. The more he got burned, the tighter he hugged it. And so on, in a vicious cycle, to the undoing of the bear. It's good to have an intentional time of atonement, a time for forgiving ourselves and others, a time to reflect upon the scalding tops to which we are clinging. As human beings, wanting to be kind and loving is often, even rarely, enough. For many of us, it takes intention. It actually takes work and time to turn from unkindness to kindness, to turn towards gentle words. When we become separated from this love that we look toward because of our own sins or because others have sinned against us, we must find a way to turn back toward that love. Our turnings are rarely like those symbolized in the rituals or prayers or even in our desires. Our turnings are seldom like the weather last night, turning and practically transforming from humid, sticky, tropical storm into a northeastern autumn, cold, chilly rain in a matter of hours. Our turnings are generally slower and more deliberate. Our turnings may take, however, the same amount of intentional force as that behind the sudden change in the weather last night, in order to warm up our hearts while healing our wounds. Our turnings will need to hold new tensions, tensions such as knowing that forgiving is not forgetting. Forgiving is not placing ourselves in harm's way. It's not accepting bad behavior. Forgiving is not glossing over, and forgiving is not being passive. Forgiving is an active, intentional choice not to further damage ourselves by hugging too tightly something that has already deeply hurt us. Forgiving and the request for forgiveness for a wrong committed is always about seeking and working toward our own wholeness. Forgiving is about letting go and building wholeness, the only way any of us can build anything, by starting with ourselves and reaching out into the community. Forgiving may help us to find ways to be in dialogue, to listen to one another, to speak and share about our own experiences. And in this way, individuals and communities atone, heal, and begin again in love. To begin again, to turn around, to turn over a new leaf, atoning, is like an opportunity to restart the car with an engine that uses less gas and leaves less pollution in its wake. We are still moving in the direction where we were going, and yet do so causing less harm to ourselves and those around us. The wonderful part of an annual atonement is that it acknowledges that we do fall away. We do turn our backs upon the ways that we hope to be, the ways in which we know we can be our very best, and we often need the reminder. We need to call ourselves back from time to time and find forgiveness for ourselves and forgiveness from those we have wronged or harmed or spoken ill of, even if we cannot speak to them directly. We reach out and find a way. As Unitarian Universalists, we seek and ask forgiveness because it leads to wholeness. It affirms our commitment to act from intentional support for the inherent worth and dignity of all people. It increases our capacity for justice and compassion. It expands our ability and understanding on how to use a democratic process that increases wholeness of a community. It leads us back into right relationship with one another, and it maintains the integrity of our affirmations, our covenants, and our authority as a religious people and tradition. As this week progresses, we have an opportunity to join with our Jewish brothers and sisters and those among you who understand yourselves as still being very connected to the Judaism that you have come from. It is a time when we can use to engage in intentional reflection and inner engagement with atonement. I will be using this week in my spiritual practice to engage in atonement. I invite you to consider doing likewise. Blessed be. Rise in body or in spirit for our hymn, closing words, chalice extinguishing, and singing Go Now in Peace. Hymn number 219, O Hear My People. A time to turn toward healing and wholeness, a time when we are able to forgive ourselves and others and begin again in love. As we enter this new week, may we hold this in our hearts and minds. May the possibility of being blessed with the actions of mercy and love that forgiveness can sow be with us until we meet again. Carry the flame of peace and love until we meet again. The service is ended.